Well, we'll come before the Lord and we'll commit our time, our meeting into his presence. Heavenly Father, tonight we thank you that we come washed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed, sanctified in your presence, to come in fellowship, in unity and in oneness. Lord, we thank you tonight that you have drawn in our hearts that we should be in this room here and fellowship. But Father, you desire to speak to your people. And Lord, we have so much to learn in this life. And you have given us the precious Holy Spirit and the anointing in which to lead and teach and guide us into all truth. And it is that truth that we desire, because without it we are not really set free. And so Lord, tonight we come believing, expecting. We come tonight, Father, to be changed. Because Lord, unless we come believing and to be changed, then really we have not understood what our meetings are about. And it is important that we're being changed from glory into glory. So my prayer and desire tonight, Father, is that we are different to when we first came in earlier. But we ask this in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise his name. Hallelujah. Well, tonight I want to speak from 2 Peter. And I'm calling tonight this teaching, we need to be reminded. We need to be reminded. And I want to just lead into this. And if we turn to 2 Peter, the first chapter, and we'll take it up from verse 11. And we shall have a look at this. And we shall trust that the Holy Spirit will lead and guide us. And it says here, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and are established in the present truth. Yea, I think it fitting, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath shown me. Now, here we see Peter the Apostle bearing his heart out. He is all the while ministering to these saints. He's selfless in his giving. And here, he's just reiterating and bringing the saints back as to their salvation, what pertains to their salvation. And as he says here in verse 11, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Now, that alone in verse 11 is tremendous. We are shown quite clearly here that an entrance into glory, into the kingdom of God, has been ministered unto us, not only ministered to, but abundantly ministered. In other words, your making it into the kingdom of God is being confirmed and confirmed all the time, into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And any minister must always labor in that one. And the reason being is because not only do we need to be reminded of this, but we are very aware of how negative at times the walk can be, and how our trials and our tests can be anything than what we have just read there in verse 11. But it doesn't matter what you're going through, because the apostle says here, and this is ministered unto you abundantly by the working of the Holy Spirit. In other words, it is important to exhort, to encourage, and that is why we come together in fellowship and unity, to encourage, to exhort one another, because of the nature of our walk. And so we need to be reminded of this. How we need to be reminded of what we received: faith, discipleship, the cross. We receive much teaching on divine healing, on our finances, our trials. All of this being the deeper life in the spirit. And of course, we have majored on these because these are the things that we meet up with every day. And so our faith has to be encouraged. And tonight the Lord is saying that our faith is encouraged and that we have an entrance ministered abundantly into the kingdom of God. And I don't know about you, but that's really good news. That really is. And we need to be reminded of this. We must not let go some of these very simple principles. And it is good to exhort and encourage one in the meetings. It is good to pray these through, to pray these out in the meetings so that brothers and sisters can just be reminded and blessed. Because we need to be reminded about these things. Now, you see, one of our big problems in life is the tendency to forget. And we all at times forget. We forget things. And in this life now which we live, there is just so much to remember, and life is moving at such a pace that we need to just come apart and be reminded of some of the basics and what the Lord has done and is doing for us. And one of our big problems in life is that we forget. They say time heals, but someone said it's forgetting. And so sometimes whatever we go through, we just have to forget and move on. The same with our trials, our tests, or if somebody has lied or cheated on us. We have got to come to this place and remind ourselves, it doesn't matter, I'm going to move on and I forget, and to forgive that brother, that sister, or whatever was said. I know that we don't necessarily get that immediately, but the point is that the enemy is so good at getting us to try and remember things that are worthless, that are negative, that are of the past. That is not how the Holy Spirit works, anything but. We're told that we're to forget those things and to press on to the higher calling. And so God has done for us all of this, and he's renewing our minds daily so that we can be thankful, we can be reminded, and we can move on. You see, we're all the while constantly bombarded with things of the past, sometimes from our parents, friends, politicians, and so on. Well, how much more then with the spiritual, that we need to be reminded of what we've been purged from, that what our lives once were, and what they are now. And all of this, as we've been showing you, is ministered abundantly into the everlasting kingdom. And so God sees fit that this is absolutely imperative, that we are reminded of this, so in order we can move on. Now I want to look at verse 12, and it says here, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and are established in the present truth." So the Apostle Paul says, as we're saying here, he reminds them of these things of the past, what they have been purged from, and so on. And that you are established in the present truth. That means that the truth you receive is ever present. It's the now. No beginning, no end. It is the truth. And whom those that receive the truth sets free. Three times in verses 12 to 15, Peter reminds them of the truth he has already shared. And we should look at this. So three times he's constantly reminding them of the truth he has already shared and given to them and what they have received through the apostles. And we like, that is why it is that we stay with what has been given to us over the years. And that is the blessing of the deeper life teaching, the way of the cross, discipleship, faith, and so forth. We need to stay with that because it is the gospel. It is the word of God. It's not a new revelation. it may be new in the sense, because a lot of people in churches haven't really heard it preached that way, but it isn't. There's nothing new. It's already there in the gospel. And so Peter is careful to emphasize the difference between being aware of a thing and really living by it. He says back in verse 4, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and are established in the present truth." We think sometimes that we know a thing, but there are times we don't really. And a lot of us, I hear, and it's been said to me in conversation, the more I go on in this walk, the more I actually don't really know anything. And that is interesting, because what is happening is that we're actually really learning through our trials, through these tests. And that is the greatest way of learning. And when you go through these trials and tests, you don't really know what's happening. You can't see anything. It seems totally black. There's no way of escape. It's not until we come out the other end do we receive then the revelation of why we had to go through what we went through. And so it is all about seeing. And seeing is about being revealed. And so sometimes we know we think something, but at times we don't really. We imagine because we are aware of a thing, it must be in my memory. For example, you may go to a lecture, and you may sit through that lecture for about an hour, 2 hours. But how much of that do we really take in? And a lot of it is the same with the Word of God. That is why it's not only should we hear, but listen. And the Holy Spirit, we're told, will bring these things to our remembrance, which is interesting, because he doesn't really want you necessarily learning a load of verses, memorizing text, and so on. That can have a place, don't get me wrong. But the question is, what we're learning, what you're learning, is the Holy Spirit quickening and bringing that to my remembrance when it's needed? That is the question. And rightly so, because the Holy Spirit knows how to bring the Word of God into a situation that is the right message and the right teaching. I never know what I'm going to teach, but as I prepare in the Spirit, and so the Lord will give me a certain insight as to what he wants me to talk on, but fundamentally, I don't really know what is going to come out. And I've learned over the years not to get my mind in it, because the Lord says, I will give you the words in that hour. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. We've got to learn that we walk a supernatural walk. God doesn't want our good ideas, our theories, what we emotionally or intellectually think about something. No, I believe that we're coming more and more now into a place where the Holy Spirit, who is the revealer of all truth, is going to give us what we need and what is needed to be said. I'm reminded of the Lord on his night of betrayal. Very, very few words. Didn't try to justify himself. And why? Because the Holy Spirit was not giving him the words. So he was totally yielded over, not trying to justify himself, but allowing the Father to work redemption through him. And fundamentally, that's what he really does through us. In a roundabout way, we too, when yielded over to the Holy Spirit and allowing the Spirit of God to move and speak through us, then the nature of our ministry is redemptive. That is, that it speaks to people. It will open eyes. And this is what it's all about, so that the Lord will give the words in that hour. But we need to be reminded of this. Man can commit the same old sins and never learning. It's knowing what is good and doing it. And of course, that is where we battle. We're taking in the word of God, and we know that what we take in, God wants us to live by it, by faith. And of course, being gentle, merciful, gracious, he works with us, ever bringing us to those places where we're acting our faith. Let me just remind you again in James 4, verse 17, which he says here, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So we might know something, but we may not always do it. And that is why we need to be reminded. And that is why God is reminding us of where we've been purged, where we have come from, what God has done for us, and how that he has ministered abundantly for us into the everlasting kingdom. Now, God hasn't made a mistake there. They're his words, not your words. So the Bible is very clear in what he says. We just choose to believe that. Whatever you are going through, whatever you are battling, and so on. You see, faith will always act, even if it's asking God for help and for change. That is also active. That is why it says in the book of James, you have not because you've asked not. So we see by asking for these changes, these workings of the Spirit, that is also revealing that our faith is active. The very fact that you're asking God to work that in you, to work in you both to will and do for his good pleasure. Peter says, doesn't he, that you are established in this present truth. And it's the same with us. And this should really encourage us, that we are established in this truth. And therefore, we should be reminded of this and talk and encourage and praise God and keep our minds fresh and looking upon these things, you see. Now, in verse 13, he says, yea, I think it fitting, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. You see, our memories at times need to be nourished, need to be fed, stimulated. And there's nothing wrong with that. And we trust that that's what we're doing tonight. We're stimulating, we're nourishing, we're admonishing that we're not to forget these things. Now, you will know if saints are forgetting these things because they don't come out in prayers. They don't come out in the meeting. They're just not expressed in thanks and gratitude. But this is absolutely imperative. It is important in our assembling together when we come that we thank, that we remind our brothers and sisters of what God has done and is doing, and so on. Hallelujah. Or are we living in the past, in past memories, or remember years back? This is what religious people do. This is why they're trapped in festivals, Easter, Christmas, and all this sort of thing. They want to be reminded of that sort of thing. But that's not what we're talking about here. You see, Peter isn't saying to memorize or to live in the past memories or remember each year these festivals. That is just sentiment, not Christianity. And nor is it being consumed with the past, not forgetting those things. We must never, ever forget, brothers and sisters, what we have been purged from. And that Christ took the initiative. And that he first loved us, loved me, before ever I loved him. And we need to be constantly reminded of this. And I think we'll begin to see even greater blessings, because what this does is that this glorifies, this lifts the name of Jesus in meetings. He said, if I will be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. But how do we do that? Well, today so much of it is an emphasis on emotion, on praise, and that has its place. But there's very little at times that is exhorted through prayers, intercessions, encouraging. And that is just as important. Does it appeal to our sentiments, our emotions, our feelings? Well, no, not always, particularly if you're going through a trial. But it's what God has said. And that's the whole point. See, there should never be a day when we think upon the Lord, what he has done and is doing, hence our prayer life. There should never be a day where we forget that. But every day, when you wake up, out of your mouth should come that thanks and praise for what the Lord has done and what he will do today. What you are doing is you are stimulating, you are encouraging your mind, your memory. And that is what we need to memorize. And that will come out in our prayer life. Meditation and the Word. Again, the same sort of thing. It's good just to meditate in the Word and to just look at some of the scriptures that speak about what God has done and what he's doing and his faithfulness. But there are some who are very academic towards the Word. And they want to do their Bible studies every day, and they think that is necessarily pleasing to the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that one can't have Bible studies. That has a place. But unless the Holy Spirit takes the initiative and he leads and guides us, then we're not going to memorize these things. We're not going to be reminded. And that's why there are people, there are professing Christians, but very little joy, very little thanks, gratitude, really ever comes out of them. And the reason being is because they're not memorizing. They're not allowing the Holy Spirit to quicken what God has done, you see. And so there should never be a day that we forget to thank the Lord and to meditate in his word. And then the Apostle Paul goes on in verse 13, yea, I think it fitting, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. So he realizes in his flesh, in his tabernacle, he is to stir the saints up, to remind them. And that's why he's still there, until the Lord allowed him, permitted him to go. Same with us. We're still fellowshipping together. We still come together. God has still given us life, breath, for that purpose. That in our tabernacle, we stir one another up, reminding ourselves of where we've been purged from. And so, he's traveling through his pilgrimage. He knows his job. And Peter is conscious of the short time that he has. We see it in verse 15. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. So he knows he's going, and his desire is that they have this in their remembrance, that they don't forget this. And that's the important thing. That in many ways is what a preacher teacher is to do, is to bring these things to your remembrance. So that you don't forget these things, whatever the future may hold. And the reason being is because the gospel, the teaching must go on. It must continue after he's gone. You see, the true work that God raises will endure and will go on. And any minister who ministers the word, particularly a pastoral ministry, has to accept the fact that he's not infallible. He might not always be there. There may be a time when the Lord will move or take him home to glory. The question that then is, will it continue? Will it go on? And this is why we remind ourselves precisely of this. because we stand upon this firm foundation, the rock of Christ. And Christ is building. He's building his church. Therefore, whatever happens, whoever decides to go or leave or whoever the Lord takes home, it has to continue. And that is the whole point. And here, Peter is showing them that he will shortly be going. Now, we're not quite sure how they take that, because Jesus did exactly the same with the disciples. He revealed that he must go to Jerusalem, that he must go, and that the scriptures will be fulfilled, and that he will send the comforter. Totally misinterpreted it. And they ran away in fear. Why? Because they didn't want to be reminded of this. And so sometimes we don't want to be reminded of these things. And so we shut our hearing to some things. And it will never happen. And the Lord knows. Well, the apostle here is reminding them. And he's saying that I'm in this tabernacle for your reason. For you. But I am going to go, and I want you to remember this. I want you to be reminded of this. So, how the Holy Spirit then reminds us and keeps us with it is a tremendous work. And we're not to resist him, but we're to stay with it. And sometimes, you know, you've heard a thing quite a number of times. Sometimes I hear something and think, oh, I heard that last week. And then we had a teaching on that about a week, 2 weeks ago, whatever it is. But then I become aware the Holy Spirit is allowing that for a reason. Because there's something I'm just not remembering. It's not working in my mind, in my heart. And this is why God will do this. And this is why we get this idea of chewing the cud. We go over and over and over, but we chew it. We chew upon the word so that it continues to remind us. And this is why I do not apologize where I continue to preach, teach on the faith teaching and the deeper life. To stir you up, to keep you reminded of what you once heard and that what God wants you to continue to hear. Because this is ministered unto us abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. It is very important that a minister is faithful in the light that he has been given. And so often you find today a lot of ministers, they're desperately searching for new revelations, want to change, want to move on, and so on. And of course, we're told in Ecclesiastes that there's nothing new under the sun. Some leave us thinking that the grass is greener the other side, only to find out that it's not. And so us being reminded of all these things helps us not to fall into that trap. It's sad when we see brothers and sisters who over the years embraced the teaching, were excited about it, and some of them taking copious notes and so on, and then we find that they're no longer with us, or they become suspicious, they question, and so on. Somewhere in their mind and thinking, they didn't want to be reminded anymore. And we all have to be on our guard in this. And that is why God is going to go over and over and over these principles, the word. He's going to go over and over it so that it's going deep into our hearts. Now, we know, as I bring this now to a conclusion, we know that that takes a work of grace. Because it's not in human nature to stay long with something because we become bored. That's what's happened. That's what the fall has done. And this is why you have so many believers going around from this ministry to that ministry, trying to find something new, something different, you know, and because they're fundamentally bored. And boredom will make you restless. Boredom will make you unstable. Boredom can cause you to fall into error and heresy. And so we all have to really be on our guard with regard to this. Is there anything new in the gospel, in its teaching? No. Because it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that word never changes. And those promises that God has made never change. There are times when we just think, when will I be healed? When will I get this breakthrough? It seems as though God just hasn't heard me. Well, there are times, aren't there, where you just have to stay with it. And you keep knocking. Persistence. Sometimes God is going to work in us where the kingdom has to be taken by violence, by force. That's why the Lord's having us as a church to go into prayer and fasting. The Lord just shows us enough is enough, what the enemy's doing. But none of this can ever be achieved for the glory of God unless the Holy Spirit shows us. So you don't decide to fast. I think it's a good idea, I shall have a fast. These are not good ideas, these are where we're led by the Spirit. And we don't always believe that the Holy Spirit has come in which to guide us and lead us and teach us. We still at times question his ministry. And the reason we do that is sometimes because he goes very silent. He's not always speaking. He's not always showing us in the depth of our trials. In fact, often in the depth of your trials, there's no way you can see out. It's absolutely black, and that's the very nature of it. You've only got to read the book of Job. But something within one holds on that in the end, God's, because that's the nature of his heart. God never leaves us in a state where he's not completed what he intends to do in and through us. God never starts a work and then decides to not finish it. In fact, we know that when the children of Israel came out of Babylon and were to rebuild the temple, for a while they hindered and stopped and everything. And of course the prophets came in which to stir them on, because the foundations and the walls were to be built, to be completed and finished. And God spiritually does exactly the same with us. Spurs us on. This has got to be finished. The bride that's making herself ready has got to be finished. She has got to finish this work that the Holy Spirit has started with us. And therefore we need to be reminded of this. And we just have to stay with it. You see, God has not made a mistake. And yet the enemy tries to come in and say, you know, nothing's happening. You've been in this for years. You know, you're so bored. You're so fed up. Move on. And we've all been tempted with that. And there are just times when you're going to have to say, get me behind me. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you tonight for our meeting, our assembling together. Thank you, Lord, that you put it in our hearts to be here. Thank you, Father, that you are keeping us faithful, not looking to man, but looking to you, your promises. Father, we don't need to go to other places. Father, when you bring it to us, you bring the good message, the good news to us, your word to us. You brought the deeper life of faith to us, Lord. And that's how you do it, because it is the Holy Spirit who comes to us. So let us be reminded, Father, of these things tonight. And let us minister and encourage one another with what we've heard and been encouraged and admonished. Because this is what lifts the name of Jesus and glorifies him. Father, I pray that we will be faithful in this, in Jesus' name. in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.